Alaska's native voice.
It is 90.3 KMBA, 8:31. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Kweskin.
I've traveled around this country wide, seeking fortune fair. Up and down the two-coast line, and I've been most everywhere. From Portland east to Portland west, back along the line. I'm going back to the place that's best, that old hometown of mine. 8 more miles to Louisville, we're coming to my view. 8 more miles on this old road, and I'll never more be blue. I knew someday that I'd come back, I knew it from the start. 8 more miles to Louisville, that's the hometown of my heart. There's bound to be a girl somewhere you love best of all. Mine lives down in Louisville, she's long and she is tall. She's the kind that you can't find rambling through the land. I'm on my way this very day to win her heart and hand. Now 8 more miles to Louisville, we're coming to my view. 8 more miles on this old road, and I'll never more be blue. I knew someday that I'd come back, I knew it from the start. 8 more miles to Louisville, that's the hometown of my heart. Well, I can picture in my mind a place we'll call our home. It's a humble little shack for two, and we never more will roam. The place that's right is in my sight, and it's in them bluegrass hills, where gently flows the Ohio by a place called Louisville. Now 8 more miles to Louisville, we're coming to my view. 8 more miles on this old road, and I'll never more be blue. I knew someday that I'd come back, I knew it from the start. 8 more miles to Louisville, that's the hometown of my heart.
You're tuned to 90.3 KNBA, and Jim Kweskin is playing live for us. Old Grandpa Jones song, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Sorry. Grandpa Jones and Merle Travis together.
I waited until you took a drink of water before I ask a question. That's a good way to treat your guest. Jim Kweskin, the founder of the Jim Kweskin Jug Band, an influence to generations of musicians, influenced for the Spoonful and the Grateful Dead and on and on and on and on.
You make me sound old, man.
Yeah. Well, here we go, though. Was Alaska a bucket list sort of a deal?
Now I can say I've been in all 50 states. This is my first time here in Alaska.
Not just playing, but your first time here.
Ever here in Alaska, yes.
What took so long?
It's a good question. I have no idea. Just waiting for somebody to invite me.
Okay. Well, we need to be better about doing our invites then, I guess. So Jim Kweskin in town for a couple of shows. We've got tomorrow at the Anchorage Museum, which is going to be, that's at 7 o'clock, Mr. McCormick?
7:30
at the Anchorage Museum, and 6 o'clock out at Vagabond Blues on Sunday. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
In Palmer.
And for folks that aren't familiar with, if there's anybody around who's not familiar with the work stemming way back to the '60s, you want to do a little autobiography for us?
About my life?
Yeah. Well, certainly not about mine or Mike's.
I grew up in Stamford, Connecticut. It was my hometown. Went to Boston University. Studied a little bit of guitar. Learned how to three-finger pick. I loved folk music since I was a kid. And then I also loved early jazz, so I got into combining the two, which is basically what jug band music is. Old jazz played on folk music instruments is a simple way to describe it. And then I started traveling around the country, learning songs, and I do old songs. I'm not a songwriter. I'm what you call a songster or interpreter. And I find songs that were recorded like 80, 90, 100 years ago and resurrect them. Matter of fact, I was on stage not that long ago and I was talking to the audience and I said, you know, if I do a song that was originally recorded 80 or 90 or 100 years ago, am I covering it? And somebody says no. Somebody in the audience says no. You're uncovering it. So.
There you go.
So I like that. So that's what I do. I uncover songs.
You know, I hear you doing Hoagy Carmichael and Irving Berlin and Johnny Mercer and some of these great ones. But that doesn't sound though anything like Irving Berlin or.
Well, I tend to turn old folk songs. I mean, I'm sorry, old pop songs into folk songs. You know, and the way I do them. Is just what I like to do.
You do it darn well.
Oh, thank you.
Talk about the, well, let's see, do you want to do another song first before we end?
Yeah, I could do one of those old pop songs.
Okay,
I wasn't going to, but I...
It's 8:37, and Jim Queskin joining us this morning on Morning Line. Mm-hmm.
This is a song that won the Academy Award in 1937. For the best song in a movie.
I was still in junior high then. I was still in junior high then.
Yeah. Someday, when I'm awfully low, when the world is cold, I will feel a glow just thinking of you and the way you look tonight. Oh, but you're lovely with your smile so warm. And your cheeks so soft, there is nothing for me but to love you just the way you look tonight. With each word, your tenderness grows, tearing my fears apart. And the laugh that wrinkles your nose touches my foolish heart. Oh, you're lovely, never, never change. Keep that breathless charm, won't you please arrange it? 'Cause I love you just the way you look tonight. Just the way you look tonight.
It's beautiful. It's 90.3 KMBA. Jim Queskin playing live for us in the studio here on the Morning Line program. First time in Alaska for Mr. Queskin. Talk about putting the jug band together and what sort of a novelty that was in the early 1960s?
Well, I was performing as a solo, or at least that's the way it was billed, at the folk music clubs, and mostly in New England and New York, especially in Cambridge, Massachusetts. There was this club called Club 47, which is where a lot of great musicians got their start. And but even though the bill on the calendar said it was a Jim Queskin, it was never me by myself. I always had lots of people on stage with me, and mandolin and fiddles and harmonica and wash tub bass and jugs and all kinds of interesting and fun instruments, people I knew who were good musicians. And we would just jamming on stage, having a good time. And one night, the owner of a record company was in the audience. I was owner of Vanguard Records, which I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know he was there, but he came up to me after the show and he said, "How would you like to make a record with that band?" And I said, well, that's not really a band, but give me 3 or 4 months and I'll put a band together. So I had a record deal before I had a band.
Before you had a band, okay.
And then I went around looking for musicians to be in my band. And I knew the kind of music I wanted to play, and I wanted to form a jug band. Jug bands were something that were popular in the 1920s. They had gone out of style by the 1960s. But I wanted to resurrect that feeling, that type of music. So I got Jeff Muldor, who was a great blues singer. I'm not a blues singer. As you can tell, I sing more up-tempo or pop songs or ragtime songs and early jazz kind of songs. He was a blues singer, so still is. So I got him, and I got Fritz Richmond, my buddy from who lived in Massachusetts as well, except he happened to be in California at the time that this happened, so he plays the washtub bass like you've never heard. Anyway, he was the best washtub bass player on the planet. To this day, I've never heard anybody play as good as he played. So I called him up and I said, you know, I'm forming a jug band and you got to come and play your washtub bass in my band and you have to learn how to play the jug, which he did. And then I got a banjo player who was Bob Siggins, who was with the Charles River Valley Boys. And I got David Simon, who was a friend of mine who played the harmonica. And we formed the first jug band. And over the years, it changed personnel. Mel Lyman became the harmonica player and banjo player. And then a little later, Maria Muldor. At the time, she was Maria D'Amato, but then she married Jeff Muldor and became Maria Muldor. She was in the band for a long time. And we had Bill Keith on banjo for a long time and Richard Green on fiddle. So over the years, the band personnel changed to some degree. But and we made a bunch of records, and we did very well.
And you obviously formed some incredible lifelong relationships. You and Jeff are still touring together, don't
yes.
you?
Yes. Yeah. We just did a few gigs together on the East Coast. We were doing more a couple of years ago because we were both living in Los Angeles, but now he's moved east, so we don't see each other as often. But we just did a few gigs together, and we will continue to do more. We made a record together called Penny's Farm. From what I understand, you've played a couple of cuts from it.
The listeners to this program are familiar with the Penny's Farm disc, yeah.
So that was a almost like a lifelong project he and I did to do that album. We took songs that we both loved from early recordings, a lot of them from the Harry Smith anthology of American folk music, and put them on, did a duo. But we had other people playing with us, of course, you know, great fiddle player named Susie Thompson and slide guitar player Cindy Cashdollar. So we had quite a collection of wonderful musicians joining us.
And I mentioned your influence specifically on the Love and Spoonful, but it's so it comes as no surprise that John Sebastian wrote in the liner notes to the Penny's Farm album too.
Yes, he tells a story. You know, when he was really young, I think he's still in high school. He came. We had formed our jug band. He had formed a jug band in New York with bunch of friends of his, I think, because Elektra Record was looking for somebody to compete with the Vanguard Jim Queskin jug band. So they came to see us when we were performing in New York in 1964 at the Bitter End, and his date was Maria D'Amato. And of course, Jeff Muldor got up on our show and sang Wild About My Lovin', and she
So
just,
Jeff Muldor stole John Sebastian's girl.
Well, I wouldn't say it was his girl.
That's
she was
a little
his
dramatic.
Girlfriend. She was his date.
Okay.
And he loves to tell that story. So yeah, that happened.
Okay. So what do you listen to now in 2018? What turns your crank musically?
Well, quite frankly, I still listen to the old stuff. I'm always looking for more new songs to sing, new songs to learn, old songs to learn. I should say old songs to learn. So I'm still digging deep into the great tradition of American folk music. That's mainly what I like what's, you know, I like a lot of the new stuff that's going on, but I don't have it. I don't listen to it all the time, but I do from time to time.
So what's next for you in the studio? Anything planned?
I'm in the process right now of mixing an album that I did. I put a band together. More of a swing band, really, with this great singer named Samoa Wilson, who I made some records with back in the early 2000s, or late 90s, actually. She was only 25 then. Now she's in her 40s, and she's such a good singer. So we're going to be releasing an album in the spring. I'll do some of the singing, but she does most of it.
Okay, tremendous. Well, speaking of doing some of the singing, you want to do one more?
Sure.
847, it's 90.3 KMBA, and our guest is the legendary Jim Gweskin.
So let me tell a little bit about this song. This, back in the early part of the 20th century, early 1900s, the state of Tennessee bonded $5 million to fix the roads and to build some bridges. But, you know, $5 million is a lot of money now, but back then it was really a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And the money disappeared between the politicians and the bankers. A big scandal at that time in Tennessee. The work never got done and the money disappeared. So this is a song about a time when bankers and politicians used to steal people's money. That sort of thing, of course, doesn't happen anymore. People of Tennessee want to know who wrecked our gravy train. The one we thought was run so well, and now who can we blame? We want to know who greased the track, started her down the road. The same old train contained our money to build a highway road. And now we're up against it and no use to raise a row. But of all the times I've ever seen, we're sure up against it now. And the only thing that we can do is to do the best we can. So follow me, good people, I'm bound for the promised land. Well, I could be a banker without the least excuse. Look at the treasure of Tennessee and tell me what's the use. We lately bonded Tennessee for just $5 million. The bonds were issued and the money tied up, and now we're in tough luck. And now we're up against it and no use to raise a row. But of all the times I've ever seen, we're sure up against it now. And the only thing that we can do is to do the best we can. So follow me, good people, I'm bound for the promised land. Some blame it all on parties, some blame it on others, you see. But now that you can plainly see what's happened to Tennessee. For the engineer pulled the throttle, the conductor rang the bell. The brakeman hollered, all aboard, and the banks all went to hell. And now we're up against it and no use to raise a row. But of all the times I've ever seen, we're sure up against it now. And the only thing that we can do is to do the best we can. So follow me, good people, I'm bound for the promised land. And now we're up against it and no use to raise a row. But of all the times I've ever seen, we're sure up against it now. And the only thing that we can do is to do the best we can. So follow me, good people, I'm bound for the promised land.
It's Jim Gweskin on 90.3 KNBA, where music matters. Now, who originally did that song, Jim?
Uncle Dave Macon.
Somebody I'm not familiar with at all.
Well, he's a great banjo player. He was the first star of the Grand Ole Opry back in the 30s. He's an interesting character. He started his musical career when he was in his 50s, but he played all the way through until his 80s, so he had a good 30-year run. He was a huge star in pop and country music in the early days.
He got his start at the Opry.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go way out on a limb and saying I'm going to guess that Mississippi John Hurt was somewhat influential for you.
My favorite. He was. He's the person I wanted to be able to play like.
It's amazing to watch. And we've been streaming our interviews and performances live on Facebook, and we're not today, which is really a bummer, because I would love to see see your pick and stuff. So, do you have a relationship? Did you have a relationship with John Hurt at all?
Well, I met him, and, you know, back in the... He was rediscovered. Of course, he made records in the 20s. And he was on this collection of... That I first heard, the Harry Smith Anthology of American Folk Music. But then all his recordings were reissued. The old 78s from the 20s. But at the time, he was just a name on a record. I didn't know anything about him. But then he did one of his earlier records. He had a song on there called Avalon Blues, and... The first line is that Avalon's my home. So there was this guy who's a folk music enthusiast collector who put two and two together, said, well, his name is Mississippi John Hurt and Avalon's my home. He must be from Avalon, Mississippi. So in this 1963, he went down to Avalon, Mississippi, and lo and behold, John Hurt was there, still alive and still very good guitar singing player. Good.
So he goes on his quest to find John Hurt.
Correct. And he found him. This is, 40 years after he'd recorded. And so he brought him up north, and John played a lot of clubs and played the Newport Folk Festival and other folk festivals. And, of course, he was on the same bill as my band was at the time in some of these festivals, and so I got to hang out with him and got to meet him. But I'd all fallen in love with his guitar playing and his music early on. Yeah. As soon as I heard him, I said, that's the kind of style I want to be able to play.
You think about the influence that somebody like Mississippi John Hurt had on you when you were young.
Yeah.
Bring that forward and think about the countless people that you've influenced. What would you recommend for somebody trying to learn folk music as a young person in 2018?
Be true to yourself. There's two ways to look at folk music. In the olden days, when I was young, folk music was a traditional music. And nowadays, folk music is mostly singer-songwriters. I look at them as somewhat different. I mean, I'm an interpreter, As a matter of fact, I'll tell you an interesting thing. A guy named John Jacob Niles, who was a dulcimer player from back in the 40s, 30s, in those days, if you called yourself a folk singer, you didn't sing current songs. You sang old songs.
Traditional stuff.
Traditional stuff. So he wrote some songs. For instance, he wrote Black is the Color of My True Love's Hair. But he didn't tell anybody that he wrote it. He told people he found it back in the hills. Because if he
so it
told,
could be a folk song.
Exactly. Yeah. Otherwise, he wouldn't be a folk singer. Nowadays, of course, with all the great singer-songwriters that came through in the 60s, of course, the most prominent being Bob Dylan, but there was Tom Paxton and Phil Oakes, singer-songwriter and Joni Mitchell and so forth, and singer-songwriters became what most people think of as folk music. Anyway, the point being that if you're a singer-songwriter, that's one thing, and that's great, or if you want to do what I do, which, there are a number of young folks doing this, is you dig into the tradition. You do research. You go find songs that you like, that you love, that you think you can do, and then you do them your own way. I don't recommend, although you can do that too, imitating the old records. There are some people who have done that, but to me, the most interesting is to bring old songs to life, and give them a current meaning and bring them up to date.
And you've been doing that for over half a century here. So, what an honor to have Jim Kweskin in the studio this morning here tomorrow at the Anchorage Museum and Sunday at Vagabond Blues out in Palmer. Centertix.net or whistlingswan.net. Sorry, Mike McCormick, I didn't give you a microphone here, but thank you again. Nice Red Sox World Series hoodie, by the way. Jim, thank you so much for joining us here. Where are you off to next?
I'm going back to L.A. I've got a gig next week in Claremont, Massachusetts. Claremont, California. And I'm going to be all over the place. I travel around doing gigs all over.
Okay. your chance to see Jim at the museum
tomorrow.
But I'm
so happy to come to Alaska for the first time. So,
well, thank you for coming here. Now we feel blessed, and now the bucket list is, there you go.
It's such a beautiful state, too. I flew over it yesterday. We took one of those flight tours, and I was over the glaciers, and oh, man, it was amazing. Thank you for having me.
I think I'm just going to let you sit here and pick the guitar for the next couple of hours. We won't do regular programming.
This is a Mississippi John Hertzler song, My Creole Bell.
Of coffee blues there too, which the Spoonful of course took their name from. So Jim Kweskin joining us live in the studio this morning. Jim, thank you so much for stopping in, and enjoy the rest of your stay.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
You're very welcome.